Like, I feel like we're being punked. Like, I feel like somebody went in and added this.
This is crazy. I really can't believe this.
I know. I know. You heard it here first, unless you're on Reddit and then you heard it there first.
Everyone probably already knows it, and we're like, no.
Wow.
Back to you, Bob.
Hello and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 303, None of the Above, which originally aired on October 13th, 1999.
October 13th, 1999. I'm going to look up what happened that day. No, I'm not. It's too much work.
Just know that we thought about looking it up.
But I did look. That was 24 years, 6 months, and 15 days ago.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
How did we get here? This is not my beautiful life.
Bill Clinton was president. Tony Blair was prime minister. Queen Elizabeth was monarch. Oh, remember her?
I remember her last year.
Ever since she left, hell in a handbasket. Hell in a handbasket. Okay, so what are we drinking?
We're drinking the Undercover Liar. It is rum, rye, Bianco vermouth, Amaro Moretti, yellow chartreuse, and Angostura bitters. It's complex. It's complicated.
What are any of those words you just said? They would be on the PSATs.
Ties right in. We've got a doozy of an episode. Why don't you tell us what it's about?
This episode opens in Dawson's bedroom where he and Eve are having movie night. Only they're not watching a movie. Eve is making them watch TV. Felicity, to be more exact. And they get into a debate. Dawson says TV is nowhere near as good as movies. And they debate the pros and cons of television. And they have this meta conversation where Dawson says, the main characters are always too goody-goody, and they never make mistakes. Like Felicity, she's too chatty, she's too romantic. Eve says, it sounds like you're describing yourself. Dawson says that she must not have seen his last season. Dawson says that television never reflects reality, everyone's too perfect. Eve says that's why she's here, to mix things up and make the main character flawed. She gets on top of him on his bed, and Dawson says the worst thing about TV is that they always cut to commercials at the best part. And as they fall into his bed, it cuts to the theme song. After that, we learn that it's PSAT week at Capeside High. Pacey and Andy are still bickering over her cheating on him in the last episode. She's studying super hard, and she's definitely the most prepared of all of our kids. She notices that their breakup has caused Pacey to retreat back to his more slacker attitude. Jack and Jen, meanwhile, are busy with cheerleading and football. And that's their main priority right now. Dawson seems pretty prepared, but he does mention that he feels standardized tests are unfair and not a true measure of one's intelligence. Principal Green readies the school for the test, and he even pulls Joey aside to say that she has a really good chance of getting a scholarship based off of her performance on this exam. The whole school and the whole faculty is rooting for her. She feels a ton of pressure. So Eve shows up to hang out with Dawson that night, and she brings him an apple. And she says that the apple is a metaphor. Eve, apple, get it? The real temptation is a sealed manila envelope, which she reveals contains the PSAT answer key. She stole them from Principal Green's office. She gives it to him and says even if he doesn't use it, he knows someone who probably would. Dawson brings it to his friends, and the six of them all debate what to do with it. They each reveal that they have the perfect motive to use it. Joey has the scholarship. Jack's been too busy with football to study. Andy's determined to get into Harvard. Pacey's been too distraught with the breakup to care. And Dawson's been too distracted by Eve to study. Before they can decide to do anything, the fire alarm goes off, and they all exit. When they come back, the envelope is missing. Someone stole it. With Eve's help, Dawson realizes that one of his friends must have taken it because they were the only ones who knew what was inside. No one would steal an envelope that they didn't know the contents of. So Dawson gives his friends a lecture, hot off of what Eve just told him. And he says he knows one of them took it, and he's going to give them the chance to sneak it back into his locker. He'll leave it unlocked. No questions asked, just put it back. Everyone's a little sick of Dawson and his moral high ground, especially Joey, who points out all the ways he hasn't been acting like himself lately. Throwing parties at his dad's house, crashing boats, hooking up in front of the entire school, and now stealing a test. She doesn't know what the hell is going on with him, but they're sick of sitting through Dawson's morality speeches. Andy and Pacey's bickering comes to a head when she gives him a box of his belongings back. This really blindsides him. It contains all of their pictures and all of the gifts. Pacey ends up getting drunk and going to Joey's work at the dock that night. So meanwhile, there's two little runners in this episode. One involves Joey, and her boss at the boat station asks her out. She refuses, so he starts penalizing her, like he takes away her night off that she requested the night before the PSATs. And the other involves Jack and how he needs to run this gauntlet at football practice and make it through to the end without getting tackled. He's contemplating quitting, but Jen convinces him that quitting doesn't get you anywhere, and he's on this team for a reason. And in the end, Jack does run the gauntlet, and Henry confides in Jack that he's in love with Jen. And Jack tells him that a freshman has no chance with Jen Lindley. So back to Dawson and Eve. You know, Dawson is really disappointed when he opens his locker and he finds that the culprit did not return the test. Eve asks Dawson what he was expecting. Dawson is really disappointed in his friends, and she says that he already knows who took the test. Just trust your gut. What was your first instinct? Eve says that anyone is capable of betrayal, even your best friend. The one who had the most to gain was Pacey. So Dawson tracks down Pacey at Joey's work, and Pacey's drunk and upset about Andy. He knows why Dawson's there. He knows that Dawson believes that he took the test. And they start lashing out at each other. Pacey says that a real friend would believe him. And what's really rich is that Dawson could have refused the test when it was offered to him, but he took it from Eve in the first place, which makes him just as bad as the person who stole it from him. Dawson says whoever took it is weak and self-motivated. Pacey calls Dawson self-righteous. Dawson calls Pacey smug. Dawson brings up how Andy begged Pacey to forgive her and how he wouldn't. Pacey brings up how Dawson sent Joey's dad to prison, and Dawson brings up how Pacey drove Andy crazy. This causes Pacey to clock Dawson in the face, and Dawson clocks him back, sending him to the ground. Joey comes out and tends to Pacey and tells Dawson to get it together. He's been spiraling lately, and he's not even recognizable to any of them anymore. When Pacey and Joey are alone, Pacey can't believe it. He really thought Dawson was the one person who didn't believe that he was a loser. Joey says that she thought he was a loser for years, and he never believed it about himself when she said it. They laugh. Pacey asks, you know, when is someone supposed to start believing the general consensus about themselves? And Joey says, when it's true. Joey says both boys are actually guilty because Dawson might have been acting crazy, but it was Pacey who threw the first punch. Dawson and Eve meet up, and he is not happy. He says she is getting way too much pleasure out of playing the villain in his life, and she's known exactly what she's been doing this whole time. She knew what giving him the test would do. It would cause all this chaos. And she says it just scares Dawson that perfect Dawson Leary could be attracted to someone like her, someone so flawed. He says that all he's wanted this whole time was to get to know her, and now that he has, he wished he hadn't. And he walks out on Eve. The next day, as they sit down to take the PSATs, Dawson stands up and walks out. Pacey follows him out too. The two of them make up outside and say if they're going to beat the crap out of each other, it might as well be over a girl. They laugh and walk off. So as Joey, Andy, and the rest of the students start taking the exam, it's revealed to the audience that someone is taking the test and writing down all the answers without even opening the exam booklet. And as we pull out, we reveal that it is Andy. She stole the answer key. And that is episode 303, None of the Above.
What a good episode.
What a good one. Mystery, intrigue, suspense, a whodunit.
Everything. Sex She Wrote 2.0.
I love it. I love a good mystery. Who wrote it? Who directed it?
This was written by Hadley Davis and Bonnie Schneider, who are new to us with this episode. They're a writing team. Hadley and Bonnie as a team wrote this episode, episode 311 later this season, 44 episodes of Spin City, an episode of Scrubs, and then it seems like they kind of split off. I think Hadley actually, for the most part, stepped away from writing at that point. She also wrote the Disney movie Ice Princess in 2005, which was a Michelle Trachtenberg figure skating movie, you know, very love. Early aughts. Bonnie went on to write one more episode of Scrubs. She wrote The Accidental Husband in 2008. It was that Uma Thurman, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Colin Firth movie. And she consulted on the 2013 series Welcome to the Family with Mike O'Malley. And then she also kind of stepped away.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Are they credited together on anything besides Dawson's Creek?
They have the exact same number of episodes of Spin City. So I think that they were a team through that show, 44 episodes. Okay.
So after Dawson's, they must have went their solo ways.
I think they went to Spin City after Dawson's and then they went separate.
Spin City's was after Dawson's?
I think so. Hold on, let me double check.
That sounds right, actually. Wait, Spin City, that was Michael J. Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Spin City was 96 to 2002. So you're right, I guess.
It depends on what seasons they were on, I guess.
True. But yeah, they were a team and then they stepped away. But it's a great episode. And like I said, they'll be back with us for episode 311. So we'll talk about them again then.
We talked about how they're new and how a lot of writers are new this season. There was a complete turnover between writers between seasons 2 and 3. The energy is fresh. We're feeling it.
Oh, yeah. The season is amazing. It's giving me life.
I agree. And I was really sad that the writers said they didn't like the first half of season 3, because I love the first half.
I know.
Who directed it?
It was directed by Patrick Norris. He was with us last season for The Election, which is one of our favorite episodes, and Psychic Friends. And he'll be back with us for one more episode this season. So if you want a deep dive into his history, you can go back and listen to those episodes last season. But this is one of those where we're touching in on all of the characters and they all have a lot going on. And I think it was managed really well.
I agree.
Good episode.
Who are you going to give the guest cast shout out to?
I'm going to give the guest cast shout out to Oba Babatunde, who plays Principal Green. Love Oba Babatunde. I feel like he's one of those actors that I've never knew his name, but you see his face and you're like, I know him. And you might not be able to say why, but he's in everything. He has 165 credits from 1983 until now. He's still very much so working now. He is currently on the show SWAT. He was on Goliath, Dear White People, Little Fires Everywhere, I'm Dying Up Here. He was in 78 episodes of The Bold and the Beautiful, which is The Bold and the Beautiful still on the air?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So he's probably still on The Bold and the Beautiful, but he's got a ton. That's just like a drop in the bucket. Take a look at his resume. You will absolutely see something that you know and that you've loved. And yeah, he's everywhere. And I think he's so good. I think he's like a great addition to this season.
Yeah. So good. It's very solid, solid actor. Very comforting. There's something, you just see him and you're like, ah, Principal Green.
Yeah. You don't question any role that he's in. He just shows up and you're like, yep, that makes sense.
Like a warm hug.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited to have him. I think he's with us for 11 episodes. So we've still got more Principal Green coming.
Yeah, he's a season 3 addition and we enjoy him. He brings those school storylines. He's taking the place of like all those random teachers who set up all those school stories, like Pacey's guidance counselor, he's representing the faculty. He's a catch-all.
Yes, absolutely.
What about music moments? I don't have much. I don't remember any music.
I don't necessarily tie it to this episode, but absolutely Story of a Girl by 9 Days, that was on the soundtrack. And it's just something that I associate with Dawson's in general. So when I saw that it was in this episode, I was like, oh yeah. It's when Joey and Dawson are talking at the lockers.
Mm-hmm.
Love that song.
That was a hit. Yeah, I also don't associate it with this.
But Dawson's in general, I guess, because it was on the soundtrack. I definitely think of Dawson's when I hear that song.
Bo show. Bo show, bo show.
Bo shiz, bo shiz.
Oh, yeah. Fushes, fushes.
Nothing for you for music?
No.
No, there wasn't really anything else. What about past versus present?
Yeah, I have a past versus present. Jen doesn't really have a motive. I never noticed that before. In that scene when they're going through and they're like, Andy wants to get into Harvard. Jack hasn't been studying. Dawson's been too distracted. Pacey's a slacker again. Joey has her scholarship. They completely gloss over Jen.
I didn't pick up on that, but I did notice she takes it from Joey and passes it to Jack. Like, that's her role in that scene. Mm-hmm. That is very interesting.
What about you?
I don't really have anything. I'm trying to remember back because I don't remember when I first watched the episode who I thought had taken the test, but I feel like watching it now, it's very clear to me. There was zero shock that it was Andy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was shocked initially as a 16-year-old watching this, but during the whole scene where Dawson's lecturing them about returning it to the locker and Joey's grilling Dawson, I don't think Andy has one line of dialogue in that whole thing. Maybe she says something to Pacey. But the look on Meredith Monroe's face, it's just very, she's giving it away.
Yeah, that's it, really.
Yeah, it's a little more obvious watching back.
Yeah, definitely. Should we open it up? Lots to talk about.
Let's open it up. Lots to talk about. The thing that I love about this season that I really think I'm going to enjoy is watching season 1 and 2 again. I just know them so well. You know, there was nothing that was like a nice, delightful shock in this season. Mm-hmm. I know, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember the broad stroke. Like, I completely forgot there was a Dawson Pacey fight in this one. I just, when I think of this episode, I think of Andy stole it, Dawson dumps Eve. That's pretty much it. Like, I don't remember Dawson and Pacey fighting. So it's kind of like the precursor to everything.
Yeah. They planted those seeds hard. And it's not a little tiff, it's a big fight.
So I think I'm just going to really enjoy this season because, in a lot of ways, you know, I wasn't a big season 3 rewatcher. So I think it's going to be an interesting season for me.
Awesome. I love season 3. I'm just excited to be here. I rewatched this season so much.
So in the opening scene, they're watching my second favorite show of the time, Felicity. Dawson is basically criticizing Felicity for all the reasons that people criticize Dawson for: too chatty, too romantic, whiny. And Eve says, "You're Felicity." And they're just having a meta conversation. She says she's here this season to mix things up. They're kind of acknowledging the fact that Dawson was really annoying last year. They're saying, you know, you didn't see last season when I was very not perfect and flawed.
They do it so well. We've talked about it before, how they're like self-referential and just kind of like not taking themselves too seriously. And they do it here perfectly. I wanted to ask you, does the episode of Felicity that they're watching hold any significance? I don't know Felicity.
It does hold significance. It's the second episode of Felicity where Felicity gets a job in the admissions department and she decides to look at Ben's essay to get insight into his, you know, mindset and personality. And so I think she makes a copy of it and steals it. And it's about his dead brother and how it influenced his life. And so then when they get into a fight about something, or she's talking to him and she says, you know, like, "I know about your dead brother." And he's like, "What dead brother?" And she's like, "I read your essay." And he's like, "I lied." I'm like, "You read my essay?" Like, you're... So she did steal it, just like Eve steals the test. So there is a connection.
Nice. I love how they had this whole conversation and they, like you said, talked about last season and Eve wasn't here last season. She's here for season two, quote unquote. And then, of course, Dawson says, you know, the worst thing about TV, they always cut away when stuff gets good. And then they smash cut to the main title. Love it.
We love it. And then there's this very stylized opening sequence where all the scenes are cut together because Andy's quizzing herself and she's talking about dogmatic, synonyms, blah, blah, blah. And then she says antonyms. And then it cuts to Jack and Jen and they do the antonyms. And then they're all catching each other up on their lives. And then it cuts to Jack says nonchalant. And then it cuts to Pacey in bed. And yeah, it's like a very stylized opening sequence. Andy is ready for the exam.
Andy is doing sit-ups while she's looking at her flashcards and watching the news. What a multitasker.
And then reporters, you know, like, "We're going to have the author of How to Prep for the PSATs on." And Andy picks up the book and says, "Way ahead of ya." Yeah. Doing it all.
I loved that. That was like the perfect montage where they've established that they're talking about these words on the flashcards. So they're going through word, 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 word. And then they go to nonchalant and they just lay out the definition of nonchalant over an image of Pacey in bed with like a little smile on his face, dead asleep, while everybody else is like up and studying and doing all this stuff. It was just so well done.
So well done. Now, Pacey and Andy are in their antagonistic phase of the breakup. They are bickering hard.
Hard.
Hard, 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 hard. And he seems a little more flippant, a little more carefree. He's more season one Pacey now in this episode. He hasn't given up, but he's depressed or something.
Yeah, but he's not sulking. He's just kind of nonchalant.
Carefree, nonchalant.
Yeah, I like that dynamic after a breakup where it's like they both are still thinking the other one is very much so at fault. Or I don't know if Andy thinks that he's at fault, but she thinks he's at fault for not kind of hearing her out and giving her a second chance, maybe. And so they just can't really be in a room together.
Yeah, they're bickering the whole time, but I kind of love it. I love Pandy.
And it's cute when she's like, "If you want to throw away everything you've worked for."
She's taking credit for it, as she should.
I mean, it was completely her.
It was her. Now, Joey has the weight of the world on her shoulders because Principal Green is like, "You could win a scholarship. We're all rooting for you." It's like Tyra Banks. "We're rooting for you. We were all rooting for you." So she's feeling the weight of the world. She asks Dawson. Principal Green says, "Joey, you're prepared. Take it the next few nights off. Stop studying." She asked Dawson if he wants to hang out that night, and he, of course, has plans with Eve. Eve just walks up. Eve doesn't go to this school, does she? I mean, do we think she, like, enrolled and is, like, faking it, or do you think she's just walking around campus as a lie?
It's such a good question, because I don't think she does, but also she's always there. I don't know. They never talk about it.
And we think Eve is, like, 22, right?
Definitely. Also, forgive me if this is a stupid question, because maybe they talked about it last episode. Are Andy and her father living back in their house at Capeside?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought the dad went back to New Hampshire.
I believe the dad is back, and Jack assumed he was going to move back in with them, and the dad was like, "No, you're gay."
You've got a good thing over there with those ladies.
Yeah, so I think the dad is back, and he's...
Okay. I misunderstood. I thought he wanted him to go back with him. I think I was just not paying enough attention. Okay, that makes sense.
David Dukes is in the background. He's lurking.
Do another sit-up, Andy. You're the star child now. Going back to the scene where they all talk about their motives to steal the test, do you remember who you thought stole it when you first watched it?
So much, I did not learn my lesson from Sex, She Wrote, if you'll remember. If not, in Sex, She Wrote, I thought none of the couples actually had sex. I thought it was going to be like a big, this couple thought that couple, and no one ended up having sex. Much like that, I think I thought like Eve stole it and was causing chaos, and no one really took it.
That makes sense.
What about you?
Probably the same. I can't really remember, but that sounds exactly like what I would have thought at the time, or that like a janitor threw it away or something, you know, stupid like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all just like the Superman meme where everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else.
But Spider-Man. It was really just
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Just to spice it up.
I was so floored that it was Andy.
Of course you were, because you were Andy and you never would have done that.
Never, ever. Never, ever. Well, I mean, if it was that easy, like if it was presented to me and it was laying there, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never steal or cheat, like, you know, where I can get
caught.
You
wouldn't go out of your way.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, if my friends just happen to have an answer key and no one was looking, it's
okay,
just
Andy.
The PSATs. It's not that deep. As Joey says, they're voluntary. And as Pacey says, why are you stressing over something that has the word practice before it?
That you don't have to take and you don't have to do well on. That's what was an interesting point to drive home. And I feel like they said it multiple times. So it kind of like lessened the stakes, but it's obviously more about the interpersonal and the betrayal than anything else.
I have trauma associated to standardized tests because when I was in eighth grade, I had to take an entrance exam to get into my school. It was a college prep school. So it was, you know, you take the exam, but everyone gets in, kind of a thing. But the exam determines who gets scholarships and financial aid and whatnot. And no one really taught me how to take a standardized test in the sense like keep your eye on the clock, know how much time you have
time
left.
Time management.
Time management, you know. And also we had to take the test at the high school, and it was the first time I was ever in it. And I was just, you know, it was overwhelming and all these things. And I remember the lady being like, oh, you have like 3 minutes left or whatever. And I had like I had a lot left. And I didn't finish the test. And then I remember very vividly going outside being so upset. I might have been crying. Either way, I was spiraling. And I remember my mom and brother being like, well, if you had 3 minutes left, like, why wouldn't you just go through and fill in every circle? Just guess, just fill in random letters. And I was like, why would I do that? Like, what are the odds that I would get them right? And they were like, 25% chance. It's A, B, C, or D. You have a 25% chance of getting it right. You should have just filled them in. And I was like, oh, so stupid. I should have. And so then after that, just taking any standardized test, the PSAT, and I took the SAT a lot, like 3 or 4 times, because you can mix and match.
Mm-hmm.
I just had like a time, it was just a very stressor-induced thing because of how bad my high school entrance exam was.
But that's a good lesson to learn on a test that like really doesn't have that much of a bearing. Because I took the GRE for grad school, and I guess I like forgot because I had been through college, you know, like I hadn't taken a test like that in a long time. And part of that test is writing. And I was like halfway through my writing section and it just went away because it was on a computer and it was like time's up. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to grad school. But thankfully I did. Okay.
It's so wild.
So stressful.
There really should be a class on how to take a test versus going over the content of the you don't even know what the content is. You don't even know what the curriculum is. They might ask it, they might not. They should just teach you the skills to get through it.
I saw a thing recently online that somebody was like, oh, like what kind of pencils do you have to bring to the SAT to their kid? And their kid was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, don't you need like number 2, like very specific pencils? And they're like, no, it's on a computer. You freaking dummy. Like,
that's crazy.
I know.
Something of relevance. I know the last 3 or 4 years, they've like thrown out SAT scores. Like you didn't have to take them, or you could have, or you didn't, you know, but now they're going back. SATs are mandatory a lot of places that made them not. And you have to do well.
And they're back to like 1600, right? Because for a while it was like 24.
I know.
I feel like it went back.
And like your GPA is like out of like 5.0 instead of 4.0.
Ugh, stressful. I can't.
Why did they change everything?
I don't know.
Everything should go back to the way it was October 13th, 1999.
Bill Clinton, Queen Elizabeth,
Tony Blair. That October 13th is Danielle's birthday. She listens. Happy birthday.
Shout out. Happy birthday, Danielle.
What were you doing in 1999? I think you were 15 because you're a year younger than me. What were you doing? Let us know.
Voice note.
Eve shows up with an apple. Metaphor not lost on us. Eve and an apple. Tempting.
She leaves it on the windowsill like a little snake.
Is he going to take a bite?
Turns out he is. He's taking that test.
James is looking good this season.
He is. And you know who else is? Kerr. When Jen is wrapping Jack up in the kitchen, I was like, oh, hello.
Hello. Attainable. Doesn't have abs. Does he have abs? No, he doesn't have abs.
He kind of had like built shoulders and like a nice chest.
They're all looking good. Season three, they're fresh. They're sun-kissed. They all went to LA that summer. They're back.
And you're right. You said it last week. They're looking good in the new opening sequence, the new main title. Everyone looks good. Jen finally figured out her hair. Like stuff
Praise
is...
God.
I know. Loving it. I'm loving it. Speaking of looks, Rob, Joey's boss, he's one of those that feels very familiar to me, but he's not in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he kind of has that everyman look. I mean, a familiar look of that era. Like he looks like the guys on Roswell a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So that storyline never really goes anywhere. Joey asks for a night off. He says, sure. What about the night after that? I'll take you out. And she says, no. She gives him a bunch of excuses. They have a little bit of a flirty banter. She ultimately says, like, would you be okay with me saying no? And then he penalizes her later by taking the night off away. Doesn't really go anywhere in this episode.
Yeah. She spills a little bit of gas when she's filling up somebody's boat. And he's like, that's coming out of your paycheck and you're getting your night off taken away. And she's like, why? Because you have a bruised ego. And he's like, no, he sucks.
Sucks.
When they're, I think it's in the scene when they're all talking about who took the test and Dawson tells them whoever took it to leave it in his locker. Pacey says to Andy, cheating seems to be an activity that you're real comfortable with lately. Ringer.
He gets a couple barbs in.
He does.
There's a really funny moment too when they come back in from the fire drill. Dawson's looking for it and he's like, who took it? And Jen's like, I took it. And they all like turn to her like really intensely.
she's like,
ah, I'm kidding. It's so funny.
That was really funny.
You know what else I remember thinking? I remember thinking Eve pulled the fire alarm to get everyone outside and then stole it.
Mm, that would make sense.
But it just happened to be a random fire drill at that moment.
And I know like that's a thing. It's kind of like on an airplane too, but during a fire drill, during any of these like emergency drills, you're not supposed to take anything, like leave everything, worry about yourself and your person. But Dawson could have picked up the envelope and taken it outside.
Absolutely.
He was just staring at it and Principal Green's like, go. And he's like, ugh, and he just leaves.
Yeah. He could have been like, my social security card's in here or whatever.
Anything.
My birth certificate.
These are my father's ashes. I'd be like, I know your father. He's the football coach.
It's very important correspondence. Oh, yeah. Jack's body is tight. Tight and right.
Tight and right.
I love that bathroom.
I love when, again, when they're going through and talking about the test, Joey says to Dawson, I bet when Eve offered it to you, you didn't give her one little lecture on morality or whatever. Like, Dawson is a different person to them and to Eve. And she's sick of it. Joey's sick of it.
This episode, I think, did a really good job personifying what Eve's arc was. They cut it down into one episode. She's there to tempt him. She's there to make him do uncharacteristic things. But this episode, it all climaxed and it was a huge, huge case of him acting out of character because of her, which I feel like is a very relatable thing to teenagers. You know, like you make new friends, you go to different friend groups, you start altering your personality, you're trying to find yourself. But this episode did a good job. It was like the arc of Eve crammed into one little episode.
Yeah.
He's acting badly because of her. And this is the episode where he says, I've had enough. You're out, Eve. I'm done with you.
And then I feel like he swings so far back to his uptight Dawson, what he was before Eve, that he has this blow up with Pacey. Like he's like, oh, Eve tricked me into whatever just happened for the entire episode. And I knew all along what was right. And Pacey's not. He just thinks so low of Pacey. He thinks nothing of Pacey. It's really sad.
Yeah. If he knew Pacey, he would know that Pacey wouldn't care about standardized tests.
And I feel like we talked about it season one, maybe with detention. That might have been our original Dawson Pacey fight, because you thought that Pacey wanted Dawson to hang around to make Pacey look good. And really, in my mind, Dawson was like, you're a bad student, you're a bad person, you're a screw up kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're back to that place.
Yeah, I mean, It's natural, I feel like, for best friends to have this little tension.
I don't know. I feel super bad for Pacey. He's going through it. He's going through a breakup. He doesn't care about standardized testing. And then his best friends here are like, I know you took it, Mon.
Yeah, it was a good fight.
They both got in a good shot.
Yeah. When Pacey said, you sent your girlfriend's dad to jail. And then Dawson was like, you made yours go crazy. Clutch my pearls. Good Lord.
Another moment that I loved on the dock when Pacey first got to Joey's work. He's holding a box of all the things that Andy gave him back. That's anything that he ever gave her. And he trips and falls and it falls into the water and he loses it all. And then there's a picture of him and Andy that like is just hanging on the edge of the dock and he reaches for it and it falls in the water and you just see it slowly descending. And we see Pacey's sad little face. Ugh.
So funny. And at this point, we all think Pandy will get back together, obviously. I mean, I did. There's no way Pandy could be over forever.
No. I love that one of the things in the box was a Dumbo stuffed animal, which is a callback to them bonding over Dumbo in the very beginning of season 2.
Yeah. When she's walking down the street and she has her videos, she drops them and he says, Dumbo, I love that movie. And she's shocked and they bond. That was a nice little Easter egg.
Yeah. We have to touch on Henry, and Henry's talking about his love of Jen. He's got a crush. He's got a big crush.
Yes. Jack has to run this gauntlet of football practice. Henry's hyping him up. Henry asks Jack to introduce him to Jen. Jack says, Jen Lindley? Laughs in Henry's face, says, Jen Lindley will never date a freshman. Then when Jack's about to run the gauntlet, he says, this word is in my head, fug. It's my mantra. It's my chant. And he says, fug, fug, fug. Jack ends up running the gauntlet, succeeding. And then we see Henry going, fug, fug, fug. And he starts running towards Jen. And we think he's going to say hi to Jen. He just runs completely past her.
It's like he's going to run straight through her and she is terrified.
Yeah.
And then he just runs into the locker room. He's so cute.
He's so cute. A little weird, though. He does say, like, I dream about her legs, her breasts, her butt.
Breasts. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
But back then, we thought that was cute. Now we would say that's weird.
True.
He's giving a little, like, Shakespeare protagonist. Probably Shakespeare fans out there.
I could see that.
But Jack says, no way. There's no way. There's no way Jen Lindley will look twice at you.
I really liked that scene. I liked how, because there's a little reference earlier in the episode, how Jack's like, everybody's picking on me. That's not the words he uses, but everybody's on me at football. And Mitch is, it's like, it's not for the reason that you think it is. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, Jack thinks it's because he's gay. And Mitch is like, no, it's because you're new and you haven't proven yourself. And then later, right before he brings up Jen, Henry says to Jack, you're gay, right? Like, I can know that. And he's like, yeah, why? He's like, because I really like your friend Jen. Like, just making sure that he wasn't stepping on his toes. I don't know. It was cute.
So cute. And I know we've talked about how everyone in this episode looks great, but like Katie Holmes is like glowing or something.
I feel like they all do. I'm serious. All of them look good. Even Andy, I was hating on her hair last episode, but I think it looked good this episode.
It worked itself out. Yeah. There's something about Katie. I don't know. She looks great. But Pacey goes to her work. He's drunk. They're cute at this stage. They're cute. Again, Dawson asks Pacey to watch Joey this year. And they're developing a friendship, Pacey and Joey. They're there for each other.
Yeah. And during that conversation, they're talking about the test and who took the test. And Pacey says to Joey, who do you think took it? And she's like, I don't care. And I don't want to know. And he's like, what? And she's like, some things are better left unknown. How do you feel about that? Do you agree? Or would you like want to know just to know?
I would definitely want to know. But I was wondering about that scene. What is she referring to? Because it felt like it was a double entendre. She was referring to something else. Do you think she's talking about like what even Dawson are doing? Like she doesn't want, like she'd rather not know what's going on there.
Or even like, it made me think of her dad. Like maybe it's just better that she didn't know that her dad was ever doing anything shady. He came back like.
That's a good point.
I don't know if it's that deep, but that's what it made me think of.
It had a shade of something. Like she wasn't talking literally just about the exam. Definitely had a vibe.
Yeah.
Speaking of even Dawson, are we to assume that, you know, she obviously went down on him in the premiere? Are we to assume that's what happened when they cut to the credits?
I don't know. Some things are better left unknown.
I think that's what happened. Let us know.
She really wants to have sex with Dawson.
I know, it's weird.
It is weird. Do you think it's like a trophy? Like she wants to take his V-card?
I think so.
And she's not letting up. And it's not like she's hurting for people to have sex with.
You know what else is funny in the cold open when she's like, are we going to have sex? And he's like, I'm not ruling it out. Also, do you think she just has one pair of jean shorts? She only wears jean shorts.
She has one pair of jean shorts, 17 belly chains, and 3 tank tops.
I'm just getting concerned at this point.
Do you think that this is just kind of an insider baseball kind of thing? But Dawson is so anti-TV and so pro-movies. Mm-hmm. But don't you think in 2024, Dawson would be like, I only do limited series or something?
For sure. He'd be like, oh, I subscribe to Apple TV because it's the movie stars who do television.
Yes.
For sure. Dawson.
Classic.
Dawson, Dawson, Dawson. Can we discuss Eve's necklace in the scene at the locker?
Sure. What is it? I don't remember it.
It's just like the silver, like choker kind of, it's not even a choker.
But it's like thicker. I actually do know what you're talking about.
I love it.
I do too. Now that you say it, I do remember it. And I did really remember liking it.
I love Eve.
She's got good style.
Something of note. When she brings Dawson the test and she has the apple, before she reveals the test, they talk about Joey. So Principal Green told Joey, you need a night off. Go do something carefree. She says to Dawson, hey, do you want to do something tonight? He says, no, I'm hanging out with Eve. Eve walks up. Dawson invites Joey to join them. Joey says, I wouldn't be caught dead in this universe and this planet, wherever she says. She storms off. That night, Eve brings him the apple in the exam, and they're talking about Joey and just that interaction. And she said, you know, I had a boy next door. And he says, really? She's like, yeah, our houses were connected on the military base. And he says, oh, you're a military brat. And she says, yeah, his name was Monroe. He was my dad's commanding officer.
Yes.
Eve is wild.
Eve is wild. How old do you think she was?
Then?
I'm just picturing like 12-year-old Eve and like 25-year-old Monroe.
I mean, I would have to think she was a teenager.
She's wild.
We don't know what is real and what is fake with Eve. Do we think that her real last name is Whitman, and do we think she was a military brat?
I think some of the stuff she's sprinkling in is true. I would buy the military stuff. I do not think her real last name is Whitman. I think she's very much so trying to keep Dawson at a distance.
There's still a big mystery around Eve. Who is she? Why is she there?
Why is she here?
Is she there for no reason? Is she there for a reason? We don't know.
Maybe we'll find out.
Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. As we know, Tom Capinos, in an article years after the show ended, said that he was new season 3, but the Eve arc was a disaster. I, as we've discussed, but we should touch on this every Eve episode, could not disagree more. I love Eve. I love her chaos. I love this episode. I love last episode.
And I think she's necessary. We touched on it last episode, but like, we needed something to shake it up, to kind of reconfigure the relationships, how people were hanging out. Put a real divide between Joey and Dawson, like really close that door in a significant way.
Yeah.
I think she did a great job.
And Abby's dead. Jen is, she's settling into her personality. She's not stirring. We need, you know, you can't watch just people be friends all the time. It's not fun. So Eve's mixing it up. She's necessary. I think it's a really exciting time.
I just like how it feels fresh. Everything feels fresh this season. It's the word we keep coming back to these first few episodes, and it's true.
Yeah. Did it warm your Pacey Joey heart, the scene at the end when she brings him an ice cold Pepsi to put on his lip?
They're very cute. And it's cute that he went to her work. Like, he was drunk and he went to her work. And like, the little buds of friendship are starting to pop up, you know?
Yeah, super cute.
So far, their bigger conversations have been sparse, but every time they have one, they're connecting on something. Like, there's a real connection between them.
Yeah.
Love it.
Their chemistry is crazy, actually.
Palpable.
What do you think it is? Why is their chemistry so good? For something, for me, it's something about their hair. I know that sounds weird. Like, they're the same hair. I don't know. I just think, does that make sense? Like, the exact same hair color. I don't know why.
That's really funny. I think he could have chemistry with a slice of bread. Like, I think that he just is one of those people. And she's also kind of one of those people, but she has like the like shy or coy, even though she's cynical. I feel like how they look at each other, and maybe it's their hair.
There's just something about their on-screen. Yeah, I don't know. Something about the two of them together. They just look like they go so well together.
I remember when New Girl was on there, I watched an interview with Zooey Deschanel and Jake Johnson, and they were saying kind of the same thing. Like, everyone at the studio network were like, whoa, too much chemistry. Like, this was long before they were a couple on the show. And they were like, we'd be in a scene together, and I'd like hand her a napkin, and they'd be like, pump the brakes, too much chemistry. Like sometimes some people just can't help it, I think, on screen. And maybe that's
Yeah,
this.
because while I agree with you that Joshua Jackson is an amazing actor and has a lot of great on-screen chemistry with a lot of people, there are late love interests later on that I feel like he doesn't really have, you know, and
Sure.
no fault
Yeah.
to
Yeah.
his, but I think this is something special. And I think Andy was something too. I don't necessarily know if he has it with everyone, you know? So there's something a little special about these two. Like I'm thinking like season 5 and 6. I feel like they really struggle to find
Yeah.
Pacey's good love interest there. But something about these two, and it could be that they dated in real life. I don't know. There's something there that I think is special.
I agree. Can we talk about Dawson and then Pacey leaving the test? What was your take on that? What are your thoughts on that?
Loved it. I don't know if I got it when I was, even though Joey says this isn't a mandatory test, it's an optional test, it's a practice test. I don't think I understood that was an option. So I think when Dawson and Pacey walked out, I was probably scared for their future. Little 16-year-old me being like, what are they doing? But now I just, the grand gesture of it all, the fact that Dawson was like, this has caused so much chaos. It's made me be someone I'm not. I'm walking away from it. I loved it. What'd you think?
Me too. Do you think that Dawson thought that Pacey would also leave, or do you think he was just like you're saying, this is turned into a thing for me and I'm just gonna leave, like didn't even consider it, and then Pacey was like, I'm gonna make this right kind of thing?
Yeah.
Cute, cute.
I like their little makeup scene. And then they say, if we're going to beat the hell out of each other, might as well be over a girl. Wink, wink, hint, hint. Do you think that we understood what that was a call forward? Or we didn't know. We didn't
I don't
know.
think so. No. I certainly didn't know.
The scene where they're taking the test. So the scene you were just referring to where Dawson walks out. Andy, it's like subtle. Andy has like 10 number two pencils.
See?
And then Jen reaches back to Jack, and Jack gives her a pencil.
That's funny. I didn't notice that.
That's super cute.
Pencils were a big thing.
I wouldn't want to take the test on a computer. I don't like that.
No.
Andy blowing through the test hasn't opened her exam booklet. So the way they reveal who did it, Andy is filling in answers, and then she realizes, oops, I haven't even broken the seal on my exam. And she breaks the seal. And that is how we know.
And that's a lot of trust that it's the same test. What if it was the wrong test? What if she got the wrong thing to cheat off of?
And it's worth noting when Pacey walks out on the test, he and Joey have a little look, a little smile.
Love that for them.
I just love Dawson and Pacey as friends, and it just makes me sad for the future because we know what's coming.
Yeah, I like them as friends, but I do, like I said before, I think Dawson does not think highly of Pacey, and it bums me out.
Yes, it's come up before where, you know, at Dawson's birthday when he got drunk and he said, you know, Pacey has his life together. He's supposed to be my, you know, loser sidekick friend. He has a superiority complex when it comes to Pacey, and it is not cool, frankly.
No, it's not cute.
Not cute at all.
That's all I have. Do you have anything else?
No. Should we do a creek speak?
Hold on. Before we do a creek speak, there's something that I need to talk to you about because it came up to me and it literally blew my mind.
Is this the thing you texted me about? That
Yes.
you said, I'm going to tell you something on air? Okay, what is it? I'm scared.
So you and I were talking about weed, and I was Googling smoking in Dawson's Creek. Did you know that in season one, a handful of the characters smoked cigarettes and that they cut around it for the most part because they came to the realization that they didn't want them to smoke cigarettes? But there is a scene still in the show in an episode that you and I love where Jen and Joey are smoking cigarettes.
No. Wait, okay, so we need to prep. Okay. I was looking for a 420 post and I was like, can
Yes.
you think of any moments where they smoke weed? And all I could think of was Mike Potter with this gigantic bag of crack or coke or whatever. Wait, what scene were the girls smoking?
So in episode 105, The Hurricane, when Jen comes out.
I knew that was gonna be the episode that you referenced. When you said it was an episode we both loved, I knew it was gonna be.
So Jen comes out onto the screened-in porch. There's a wide shot of her. She walks over to Joey. Joey's sitting on the ground, and that's when they have the conversation of like, oh, like, do you think Dawson has a rifle or a pistol? Like that whole conversation. Jen, when she walks out of the house, it's shot through a screen. So if you're not looking for it, you might not really know. She takes out a cigarette and she lights it. Then she walks over to Joey. Joey is sitting on the ground and Joey has a cigarette and a lighter in her hand. But it's kind of like tight enough that you only see it like every once in a while. Blew my mind.
It's blowing my mind right now. We never noticed it.
You have to pull it up because I was like, oh, they must have like edited it out or they must have. No, it's in the version that I watched on Hulu.
Oh my God. Jen fully puts a cigarette in her mouth and lights it.
Yeah, I know.
And Joey's holding a lighter. That is crazy. I feel like I need to rewatch season one now.
We watched this episode how many times in preparation for the podcast?
Oh my God. I cannot believe it. But you don't see smoke or anything.
No.
No, he has a freaking lighter.
You do see her holding a cigarette too in a different shot.
They're watching Mitch. Mitch is in the car spiraling. He just found out that Gil's had an affair. Oh my God, Jen does blow smoke out. Jen blows smoke out.
Like, I feel like we're being punked. Like, I feel like somebody went in and added this. It's wild.
This is crazy. I really can't believe this.
I know. I know. You heard it here first, unless you're on Reddit, and then you heard it there first.
Everyone probably already knows it, and we're like,
wow, this is crazy.
Okay, at 25:38, she blows cigarette smoke out of her mouth. This is crazy.
I know.
And wait, why did they do this? They just wanted the kids to smoke to be more kiddie?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And then they realized it wasn't.
Freaking fully blows cigarette smoke out of her mouth. How did we never know this?
I don't know. I feel like we must have had like a mental block for it. But yeah, I think they wanted them to be more like realistic teenagers. And then it wasn't testing well or it didn't go well. And they did a little bit of a recut and that was that.
But now I'm like, of course, Joey and Jen would smoke cigarettes. Like, of course. She's like wrong side of the creek. Jen's like, Jen would definitely smoke. Jen would smoke cloves.
Jen's smoking Marlboro Reds, Newports.
This is blowing my mind.
I know. It makes so much more sense, too, that this scene takes place outside on the porch. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
they're getting away. That's
why they went out there. They were having a smoke break.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. You did blow my mind.
If anybody knows of any other instances of them smoking, please let us know. Because I would have to think there's at least another shot or two if they shot a whole season up with them smoking.
I'm going to do a deep dive on this. Shall we do a creek speak?
Yeah, do you have something?
I do. We have a DM from MagneticMegan333 on Instagram. She says, I'm so obsessed with your podcast. It is my happy place. I can't wait until you continue. You guys are the best friends I never had, LOL. I truly enjoy it so much. Side note, have you ever watched Haven? Eric Balfour, love him in that. So she is referring to how Eric Balfour had a guest appearance in season one. And he was the guy who drove Joey home and then said it started a rumor that he got, you know, he had sex with her. And then she leaned into it and she said, yeah, he got me pregnant.
Have you ever watched that show?
No. And she's highly recommending it. So I'm going to put it on my list.
Awesome. I love Eric Balfour. He's another one we've talked about where like you see him and you know immediately who he is. And I would love to see more of him.
We love him.
All right. Well, what you watching?
I am watching Summer House. It's a reality show on Bravo about a bunch of people who get a Hamptons house for the summer, get a summer house at the Hamptons and all of the drama. They usually film them on the weekend, so like Thursday through Sunday or Friday through Sunday. Lots of drama. This season's just been really good because there's a couple who met on the show. They've been engaged for a year or two now, a season or two now, and they called off their wedding in November at the end of last year's season. So we know that going into the season, they called it off and just watching the journey of how they got there. And then also they added two new cast members this season, two guys who were like very fun, very funny. And this was probably the best season I think they've ever had. Yeah. So if you're looking for a new reality show that's fun and you like Vanderpump, it's not as dark as Vanderpump, but I really like Summer House. It has that East Coast vibe. Like, you know, they're all just straight shooters. I think this is season 9, but you could start at season 3 if you wanted, because they do a little bit like a mini reboot kind of thing and fired half the cast from seasons 1 and 2. But highly recommend. Very fun watch. What are you watching?
Also on the reality tip, but very different. I'm blazing through Couples Therapy on Showtime. It's four seasons. The last season just came out at the end of May, and it's great. I think it's so interesting. So it's couples. There's one therapist for the whole series, and couples come in and it's just watching their couples therapy sessions. So it's like a very real, very uncomfortable at times thing.
Yeah, I've watched it. I've checked it out. It is pretty interesting. There's how many couples an episode, or does it vary?
I would say they hone in on like three or four a season.
Okay, so you check in with them every episode?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll give it another whirl.
It's like 9 episodes a season. So, and you could watch, if you don't like the couples, you could just watch the next season. And it's a whole new group of couples.
Is it always romantic couples, or is it sometimes like mother and daughter?
Always romantic, not always married. Like the first season, they were all married, but then sometimes they're just dating. Or this season 4 that I'm watching now has a polyamorous. They're not a throuple because they're not all dating, but it's the guy is like the center point, and then it's two women that he's dating.
Oh, Lord.
It's very interesting.
Jesus, yeah. Fix it. Is it the same therapist every season?
Yes. Her name is Orna. She's amazing.
She was on the season I watched. I just didn't know if they like changed it up, you know. Well, cool. What are we going to drink next episode? What's the Dawson's drink for episode 304?
Next episode 304 is called Home Movies, and we will be drinking Homecoming, which is amaretto and Bailey's Irish Cream, which, if you remember, is almost exactly the same recipe as the blowjob shot.
We have the ingredients. We love an easy Dawson's drink.
Absolutely.
And you know what the best thing is? I truly don't remember what happens next week. It'll come back to me as I watch, but I love that it's like a new, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's also super fun to watch it with like fresher eyes. I'm excited for you.
I'm excited for us. Well, we'll see you there.
Absolutely. I hope everyone's enjoying their summer.
Happy Pride Month.
Hell yeah.
Jack McPhee.
Do you think Jack is wearing rainbows and going to a parade, or at home with his husband and kids?
He's at home with his husband and kids. Spoiler! But how do we get there? How do we get there? That's the journey.
And we're on it, baby. No getting off. We're strapped in. See y'all next week.
Bye.